Welcome back to Looking Above. I am Brooklyn and this is Karen, and we are so happy that you're joining us hopefully again this week. If you haven't watched our previous weeks, we've been talking about prayer this season. So it's been really great and I've learned a lot. I hope you guys have too.
Yeah.
Today we are talking specifically about healing prayer, which is so powerful, and I'm excited to dive into it. Yeah. But first, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you and thank you for this space that we get to be in all together, even if it's virtual. Lord, that's a gift from you, and we're thankful for it and for the technology. God, we just pray that the words that come out of our mouths are from you, Lord. Don't let anything come out that is not from you. Let it all be for you, all to glorify you. And God, just teach us about healing prayer and the power that you have given us through Jesus that we can use if we just listen. Lord, we just pray for everyone listening, and God, that you just meet them right where they're at and just speak to their hearts. Let them listen. Let them pause and just soak in whatever it is that you are trying to tell them specifically. Lord, we are thankful for you and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Healing prayer.
Yeah. Your husband was joking that we need to utilize this. Karen and I have our own set of, you know, health things over the years.
Yes. Yeah. So he said, don't just go in there and talk about it. Why don't y'all pray
about it? Which we do.
Yes, we do. We do pray for each other and for healing. And we have several instances.
I feel like healing prayer can be a type of prayer that people are scared of.
Sure.
Or have hesitancy toward.
Well, yeah, I think mostly because we're afraid that it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, and we all want to be successful in the things that we do. And it doesn't feel real good when I ask God to heal someone and they don't get healed.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of a ego crusher.
Yeah.
Even though I don't want to say it has nothing to do with us. It has little to do with us. You know, it's not on us. We aren't the ones healing. There are some, we do play a role in it, but yeah, it's hard, from our human frame of mind. We have an expectation of what we want to see
what it should look like
and the timing. And then when we've maybe seen things not go the way that we hoped or desired, then it's kind of hard. And so then sometimes we can just walk away kind of demoralized and like, okay, well, I guess that doesn't work, or I didn't do it right, or I don't get it, or why does God not like me? Why does he not answer my prayers? Why did he not heal my grandma? Why did, you know, and we get that. And so there is a piece of this that, as usual, like we say this so often, it comes back to having a right view of God and a right view of who we are. And we need to understand who he is and what he does. And, you know, I do think that healing is something that God does. You know, he is the great physician. He is the master healer. He is the one who created our bodies and knows them more intimately than any doctor who has studied for any number of years ever could. He knows all of that. You know, and scripture says, like, he heals all our diseases. He has the capacity to heal any sickness.
And someday,
and there will be a day. Yeah. I know that's exactly where my mind went too. We will have that day when we are with him in heaven. And it says there will be no more sickness.
He desires that for us too.
Right. And that is where the world started in the Garden of Eden. There was no sickness at the start of creation. You know, that was not the plan. That was not his desire. His heart for us was not to live with illness. And so illness, of course, is ushered in with the fall. It's part of our fallen nature. Our bodies are imperfect. They are not impervious. Like, we are susceptible to disease. We are susceptible to injury. We are, you know, and things have mutated and morphed through the years, and we keep seeing new bugs, super bugs come
up. This is funny that, because my family has been sick for 3 weeks now. And so it's funny that this is the episode that we're talking about. But
So, I mean, but we also need to understand that it is now part of our story. Mm-hmm. Sickness and disease and injury and all of that, that is part of what we live with in a fallen world. And none of us are immune to it. Mm-hmm. None of us are going to live without ever being sick or without being touched by illness or touched by death or, you know, injury, all of that. It is part of our common experience. And there's a piece of us that needs to accept that, but at the same time we realize that illness is something that is battling against us. Mm-hmm. You know, it is a force of evil in this world, and it is doing harm to us. And so there is also a piece of this where we just need to look at this as there's a spiritual realm, and we can also fight illness in the spiritual realm, even though it is a physical manifestation.
Well, and I feel like most people have heard stories of miraculous healing. Mm-hmm. There's so many stories mm-hmm. of miraculous healing. Mm-hmm. And we know personally people that mm-hmm. have been healed miraculously mm-hmm. by God. And so it is important, even though illness and injury are a part of our world and our mm-hmm. lives, mm-hmm. to still, like you were saying, tap into that prayer life of healing.
Right. And, you know, where we see miraculous healing happening all the time is in third world countries.
I know.
All the time are in places where medicine just isn't a mm-hmm. part of their normal experience, where they aren't able to rely on human means for healing. And so when all you have is God to rely upon, you do, mm-hmm. you know? And so we need to also consider the fact that there are times when we in our Western culture are over dependent on the medical community and on medication. Mm-hmm. And then there's some in our community that are probably under dependent on it too. And, you know, especially, you know, where I think I see that the most is the realm of mental health.
Yeah.
And if someone's struggling with mental health, they won't get medical help. They, especially in the church, well, that's a spiritual thing. And so mm-hmm. you aren't praying enough. You don't have enough faith, which I think is also, you know, an issue. We can swing one way or the other, where we refuse to rely on medicine. And in those cases, especially with mental health, we shame people.
For getting help.
And then we could swing the other way, where we just run to the doctor for everything and we don't take anything to God or partner with him in the healing process. And I really think that we need to somewhere fall in the middle on this, you know, that yes, there are times when medicine is going to play a role in our healing. Mm-hmm. And God has gifted people with knowledge and wisdom and the ability to make medical advances to fight diseases. I mean, there are things that we don't struggle with that 200 years ago were huge issues mm-hmm. because we've made medical advances. So we can't
ignore that. We're not saying medicine is bad, and we're not saying relying on God is bad either.
No.
In the book that we're reading along with this, Prayer by Richard mm-hmm. Foster, I really liked that he did bring up mental health in it. Mm-hmm. And that was honestly not something that I first thought of mm-hmm. when we talked about healing prayer. I really thought of physically body healing.
Right.
And I had not thought of mental health,
which
is, I struggle with anxiety and stuff. So that is.
Well, in our household, we pray a lot of mental health prayers, you know, because I have kids who struggle with anxiety. I have a child with ADHD who struggles immensely with his ability to engage in society and appropriate behaviors because he just does things without thinking. And so, that's probably where I battle for my kids a lot in their health is in their mental health and just praying healing and for chains to be broken in some of those instances where fear has maybe gripped someone. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we are not slaves to fear. And so, yeah, I think that's absolutely, that's one of the ways that we pray healing prayer is over someone's mental health.
Yeah. Yeah. That is a good point. Mm-hmm. And he does emphasize that we need to kind of use medicine and healing prayer hand mm-hmm. in hand. He talked about how doctors and pastors used to be like one in the same, mm-hmm. like they would always pray even when they were treating yeah. medicinally.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really interesting and cool.
Yeah.
I kind of
right.
want to do that, like go to the doctor. I wish I could like find a doctor and be like,
my doctor
let's
to pray over me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that would be really cool.
Right. Right.
To think of them as the same.
Yeah. And likewise, you know, pastors need to be willing to say, have you consulted a doctor? Have you yeah. looked into reasons for this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like scientific reasons. Right. Because God did create that.
Right. Right. And, you know, okay, just talking mental health, like there are absolutely times where I think depression and anxiety are spiritual manifestations. Like mm-hmm. those are the result of spiritual warfare. Those are the result of sin. Those are, you know, but there are times, I mean, the anxiety that you've been dealing with, that I would consider that postpartum anxiety. Yeah. I dealt with postpartum depression.
That's physical.
That is a physical issue that needs to also be addressed from a physical realm. Not that God could not heal those things, but that we might be doing ourselves a disservice by not addressing the physical issues that we have, you know, and he talked too just about diet and exercise and
sleep.
Yeah. Like we need to be taking appropriate measures. We can't just say, God, I'm going to rely on you as a crutch to heal me, but meanwhile, I'm not taking care of myself. Yeah,
we need to steward our bodies well.
Right, right.
And they are designed to tell us when something is yep. wrong. So yep. when we're not stewarding them well, there's going to be alarms and sirens mm-hmm. and pain and all mm-hmm. the things going off. Mm-hmm. So we have to make sure we're taking care of what God has given us
yeah.
too.
Yeah. Yeah. So in episode 60, that was our first episode of this season. We had kind of talked about some experiences that we had had with prayer. And if you hadn't seen that one or just as a means of recap, I talked on that episode about some healing prayers that I have been a part of. And these were, you know, just a few examples of ones I would consider like big milestone prayers in my life. And the first being, you know, I was 16 years old and I had this friend who had cancer and a few of us high school students went into the hospital and prayed over. And it was just a handful of us, like maybe five of us, I don't know, and one of our youth leaders. And we went and prayed over him and he was healed. I mean, I don't know if I explained it. He had, the masses that he had, one was 9 centimeters and one was 4 centimeters. And the next time they measured them, they had gone down to like 6 and 1. And then the next time they went back, they were just gone.
I didn't know you guys were teenagers at mm-hmm. the time. Mm-hmm. It's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. So that, you know, that was in high school. And here we just, you know, we watched the medical community had no way to explain what happened other than we knew we had prayed over him. We had seen God work. And I think probably that, you know, that for me was just such a moment of God can do this, you know, like just reinforced for me as a teenager, like my God is big and he is powerful and he heals, mm-hmm. you know? And so I think that has kind of just been like, I've lived in that knowledge because of that. And so for anyone who has seen those miraculous healings, when you've watched that, whether it be little or big, but this was big, clearly, you know, to go from a 9 centimeter mass to gone, like,
and no scientific reason.
Yeah. Just gone. It does something inside of you to just grow your faith in asking for that in the future. And I think because of that, I've been very bold to ask God for other things. So then when I was early 20s, we were pastoring a church. We had a young man who was sick with an autoimmune disease that basically makes all the soft tissue in your body turn hard over time. And just felt compelled to lead this prayer service for him. And we had this prayer service. And then he went into remission and was in remission for years. And, you know, and Foster talks about this in his book. You know, sometimes when we pray, we're going to see a miraculous healing and it's going to happen immediately. Mm-hmm. Sometimes when we pray, we're going to see kind of a cessation or a stall, or like maybe the disease doesn't progress, or, you know, remission like Jim had. So we see like there's different ways that this is answered, you know, but for him, it gave him quality of life for a good number of years. And then there was this other time that I felt led to lead another prayer service for a young man in our congregation who had become a quadriplegic, and we did not see healing, you know, and there are times when God doesn't heal. And Foster, you know, took a big chunk of this chapter, because I think that, again, it's maybe why people are afraid of this, is because I can't face the devastation of it might not work. Right. And I think what Foster would say is, don't go there.
Yeah.
Like you don't not do it because you're afraid it's not going to happen. Ask God, ask him every time to heal it. Because sometimes he's going to, and, you know.
Well, and how tragic to not ask for healing because we're scared and then it not come versus asking and it not coming. Yeah.
Like, I mean, there's a verse, right, that says you do not have because you do not ask. Mm-hmm. You know, so like it's not sinful to ask.
Right.
You know, like a child asks their parent for something, their parent is sometimes going to say no, knowing what's best for their child. But that doesn't mean that the child shouldn't ask in the future, you know, or shouldn't ask for something else. Well, my mom said, no, I can't have a lollipop, so I'm not going to ask for dinner.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But you're right.
Right. But that's what we do. Well, I didn't get my way this time, so therefore, maybe I just shouldn't ask.
That is such a pride and like control thing.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
If I don't get it answered immediately, then I'm not going to.
Yeah. Yeah. So again, we are faithful to ask. He is the one who determines the outcome, the answer, whatever. And, you know, I'm going to jump ahead here in what in our notes, but the first thing that he says, like, because he talks about some steps, is that we're supposed to listen.
Right.
We listen to, when we're talking about healing prayer, we listen to the person and we listen to God. And I, the reason I want to jump here is because I think oftentimes this is something that has not been taught to us in the church. Mm-hmm. We aren't taught to listen first in prayer. We just pray, right? I say, oh my goodness, I'm so sad that my friend is sick and that she struggles with this pain. And so I'm just going to pray over her. And that isn't wrong necessarily, but it might not be what's best.
Right.
And so he talks about listening first. And so we listen to the person, which number one is going to just grow us in compassion, which is going to grow our desire and ability to intercede for the person, right? Is the compassion part. But also as we listen to that person, and then as we say, okay, God, how do you want me to enter into this? How do you want me to pray? We start to develop a discernment that maybe the manifestation of illness that we see is not the biggest issue.
Mm-hmm. Well, and like you said, growing in compassion from listening will help us intercede better. Mm-hmm. And we didn't say that, but healing prayer, or maybe we did, but healing prayer is a form of intercessory prayer.
Yep.
And we talked about that a couple weeks ago, but in short, it's going to God on behalf of someone else and bearing the burden with them. Mm-hmm. So I think this step is so important, especially for that compassion aspect and going to God and bearing that burden with them.
Right.
But then, like you said, too, the discernment is so important.
Yeah.
Because it may not be what you would automatically think that you should ask for.
Right. And that's where sometimes when we've asked in prayer, we've gone saying, God, I want this healed, X, Y, Z, whatever it is. I want this healed. And then we don't see that result that we expected and we're frustrated. it's possible that what we were praying for is not what was most needed in that moment, mm-hmm. you know, and maybe God wanted to do a spiritual healing in their life. Maybe there is a sin issue that is far greater, you know, than the physical healing. The other thing I think about, you know, it's such a hard and touchy subject, but I feel like I can go there just having been in this with my dad. But, you know, of course, we're praying for healing for my dad for a year. We're mm-hmm. praying for someone to figure out what is wrong with him. And then at the end of that journey, my dad dies mm-hmm. and they still weren't entirely sure what was wrong with him and could not treat it. And God didn't just heal it, but he did, mm-hmm. you know, and that is, we need to understand that for believers, ultimate healing comes when we are no longer present in this world, you know, when we have gone to be with our Heavenly Father and are in his presence and our bodies are made new, that is supreme healing. And so I'm praying for healing for someone and I don't see it here, but they go on to be with the Lord, then I have to understand that God did something so much greater than what I was asking for. Mm-hmm. And that's hard. That's a hard pill to swallow because we don't like losing people, right. you know? And so we feel that loss here, but the victory for my dad was so much greater. You know, I mean, they could have healed that piece of him potentially and kept him here, but he's still on earth where he's still in pain and struggling and has other physical issues that he was dealing with. And, you know, and that would have just progressed. And so there are times when what we're asking for in healing is not the right ask. Right. And maybe the right ask was God. And we did say, you know, as we're praying over him, like, God, you can heal him here. But if what you want to do is bigger than that, you know, he's yours. Mm-hmm. He's yours. Heal him ultimately.
It goes back to the right view of God, like you yes. said, and that he works outside time and in our human capacity to understand healing.
Yeah.
But I feel like I just don't want anyone to be scared to ask. Like, I'm right. going back to that again, right. but like, be scared to ask for healing on earth mm-hmm. because I do believe that mm-hmm. is God's will too
right.
sometimes.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. He moves in power and we have authority. And that's one of the things that he talks about as we're doing this kind of prayer. And there's another chapter in this book on authoritative prayer, but we speak to the illness, mm-hmm. you know, we speak to the illness and we tell the illness to leave. We tell the pain to stop. We, you know, we have that authority, mm-hmm. you know, when the disciples were sent out in Jesus' name and they're casting out demons and healing people, they're not saying, God, if it's your will, would you please heal Aunt Susie's broken toe? Like, no, they are literally yeah. saying, in the name of Jesus Christ, be healed.
Yeah.
You are healed. Leave, mm-hmm. you know? And so that's the other piece of this when we're talking about healing prayer is that we have tremendous authority and I think that we are very timid.
Yeah. I know for a fact that I have been. Mm-hmm. I have just been learning about this more recently in the last year. I've done healing prayer, not with authority. Authority has been like a big mm-hmm. word God has been bringing to my life. Mm-hmm. But he's shown me a lot through you and some other friends. And we have even gone to pray over someone before. Mm-hmm. And I just was like, just honored to be there because even though I wasn't the one being prayed for, I just got to watch Jesus like work and mm-hmm. the authority you guys were speaking was mm-hmm. in his name. And it was so cool to watch. And you could just feel the Holy Spirit here mm-hmm. or there. So practically, like what if, okay, so someone is listening and they're like, I'm going to go pray for healing. Mm-hmm. What would you say? What do we do?
Okay, well, I mean, his steps, we'll go through what he says here in the book, well, of course, is first to listen, mm-hmm. listen to the person and then listen to God, you know, and he told some stories in there of times when someone would go thinking they're going to pray for someone for healing. And that was not, you know, on the way into the hospital room, the Holy Spirit is telling them, No, just be with them right now. Yeah. That's what they need, you know? And so we need to be very attentive to the Holy Spirit in these moments so that we're praying for the right things and doing what God wants us to do. So, you know, when you're talking about that person that we went and prayed over, I don't know if you remember, but I asked the group before we started, I said, does anyone have an impression from God? Like, do you know, are we asking God to heal her miraculously right now? Or are we asking God to heal her through physicians? Mm-hmm. Because we all were in agreement that God wants to heal her. That was not a question, but how God wanted to do that. I wanted us to hear from God and to enter into our time of prayer for her in the right manner so that we're asking for the right thing, because otherwise we can prolong things, you know, because we're just not asking the right thing. And so, you know, when we talk about, again, we talked about praying in Jesus' name, that means that we're praying what Jesus wants us to pray. Mm-hmm. So a big piece of this is just listening and understanding what God wants us to do in this moment. And then we just ask. We are very straightforward in our prayer that we are just asking God to move in this person's body. We, again, like I said, we have the authority to address the cancer cells mm-hmm. and tell them that it is time for them to shrink up and pack their bags. Like, you are done here. You in the name of Jesus, have no more power in this body, you know? And so we can speak directly to the illness. If we know, if God has given us clarity in what is going on here, we can speak directly to that in Jesus' name.
So what would you say? Because I think the listening part and then the speaking authoritatively mm-hmm. part, it's like a big jump, because at first you're like, okay, what do I pray? Mm-hmm. And then you're like, okay, I am going to pray this boldly. Mm-hmm. And I think that sometimes that step can be hard for people. Mm-hmm. And that's where they can revert to if you want and like mm-hmm. the more timid mm-hmm. prayers. So mm-hmm. do you have any advice or anything to speak to that? Like, what if you don't know? What if you're right. like, I don't know what kind of healing God wants for right. this person?
Right.
How do you speak authoritatively?
Yeah,
right word.
Sure. And, you know, I think, goodness, we can't go wrong with prayer. We have to come back to that, you know, is that when we are having conversation with God, when we are living out, when we are living as the body, mm-hmm. you know, I am praying for your healing. God bless me, you know, like, yeah. God bless you. God bless you. If you are praying over someone's healing, like, you're not doing wrong.
Right. And Jesus is interceding on our behalf.
Absolutely. And the Holy Spirit is, you know, is engaging in this. And there are parts of it that are far beyond us that we, you know, it's not an issue of messing it up. But when we're talking about this, and I think what he's trying to explain here is that the more we learn about this, the better we are able to partner with God to see his kingdom come on earth,
right?
To see his will be done on earth, you know? And so is there a piece of me just saying like, God, I am so broken for my sister and the pain that she is enduring. Will you please come and heal her? There is nothing wrong with that prayer. And I may not have spent one moment listening to him, you know, that there is nothing wrong with that prayer. And that prayer is affecting me and it is affecting you. Mm-hmm. It is growing our faith in just asking. Mm-hmm. But what we're talking about here is that as we're growing in this and as we're discerning and learning and moving in our faith journey, as we're better able to listen to the Holy Spirit, to pause and wait and then obey, then we open up this whole other right. realm. Like you talk about the boxes that open, you know, like mm-hmm. then we've just been unleashed into power that we didn't even know before. And I think that's what we see in Africa and these other places, is that they have become so dependent on God that they are just listening and in tune. And they know, like, that person just died, but God does not want them dead. We are going to pray for them to come back to life. And it happens, you know, like, because they're so good at listening.
Yeah. And kisses from Katie Davis mm-hmm, majors. Mm-hmm. She does healing prayers a lot mm-hmm. because they have, I mean, right. disease is rampant right. over there and they don't have the medicine, but yes, it it works. Like she and their faith has grown because of it. Yeah. So cool.
Yes. So I think we need to, my phone keeps closing. We need to understand that it's not wrong.
Yeah. That's ever. Kind of what I wanted to.
It's not wrong to pray for our friend, you know, and I think if God is moving you in compassion to pray for someone, whether you know exactly what he wants or not, just pray. Mm-hmm. Like if you've got the compassion and the faith to ask, do it.
Mm-hmm. Don't. That's what I, right. I could don't see someone hesitate. Like me
right.
being like, oh, I need to but wait.
God,
until
I didn't
I have
hear you
perfect.
Yet. Let me listen.
Yeah.
Right.
And
right.
I think sometimes that can hinder us. So absolutely. I think there is this careful balance in there.
And you know, like when we look at that verse and it's in Matthew and I think it's in Luke, you know, like ask and keep asking, mm-hmm. you know, like we keep asking. And so if I get it wrong the first time, guess what? Try again. Like, okay, God, maybe I didn't pray for the right healing this time. Like, help me, guide me, lead me to what is the deeper problem? Like, what is going on here? I think it's just, we ask and we keep asking and we keep going to him and we have faith. He talks in there, you know, when it doesn't happen, what don't we do? And we don't ever put blame on the person that is not receiving the healing. And I think this is somewhere that the church has gotten it wrong a lot of times. And this is something that I've seen, especially in the realm of mental health. Mm. Well, you're still struggling with anxiety because
you don't have enough faith.
You don't have enough faith, or there's a sin in your life. And we point fingers at the person who is already broken. Yeah. And it's so detrimental. And I really appreciated that he said something about that.
Yeah.
Do not. If healing does not happen, you do not ever push blame on the person who is needing the healing. It would be far wiser and far more mature of you to take it on yourself.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Yeah. And to say, you know what, maybe I don't have the faith, or maybe there is something in my life that is hindering this and I need to go to God and clean up my act and bring my sin before the Lord and just say, God, you know, I want to be a conduit of your power and I want to be able to speak into this in this person's life and I want to pray authoritatively, but maybe there's something in me that's holding this up, God, and I need you to come in and shine your light on that and just, you know, clean house in my life, you know? And so, yeah, in maturity and in compassion for the hurting person, we never push that on them. Yeah. He also said, then we believe. And I think this one is huge, 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 is that when we pray and ask for healing, we have to believe not just that God can heal, but that he's going to heal. Mm-hmm. And he told, you know, some really great stories. And a lot of his stories involve children.
Yeah.
Because children have that kind of faith. Mm-hmm. They pray and they just believe that God will do it. And there are so many stories of kids praying and healing coming. And I think it's because they pray in faith. They believe it's going to happen.
I think so too. They're just, it's really simple. Like for Quinn, who's 6, my daughter, she will just pray and then it's like, that's what's true. I asked God for it. So, and it's like, she knows, cause she prays some silly prayers. Like, she prays and asks for her stuffed animals to be alive, stuff like that. But then there's some prayers, like she had struggled with warts.
Yeah.
And they were overtaking her. They were on all of her fingers. They had gone on her knees and her feet, and we could not figure out how to get rid of them. And they were painful. And we went to the doctor, mm-hmm. and this is one of those times where I felt like we are not supposed to use medicine mm-hmm. for this, mm-hmm. Which Richard Foster says that's usually a rarity. Mm-hmm. But this was one of those times mm-hmm. that I had that discernment. And we went home and she prayed. We prayed together, but she did it. That the warts would go away. And we told the warts to leave her body. And the next week they were gone. Literally. It was crazy. And I really believe it was because of her faith.
Her childlike faith.
And even at night when she's feeling fear, we'll go pray over her in her room. And it's like immediately when we're done praying, she's like, okay, thank you. And then she rolls over and goes to sleep. Mm-hmm. Like, you ask for peace for me and I have it now. And then it's done. It's just so simple for them. And we make it so complicated, I think.
Right.
But I was thinking too, do you feel like that played into, okay, because something funny, Richard Foster says, do not start with super complicated healing prayers. Like maybe start with little bit more simple things.
The common
maybe the common cold, maybe even the flu. Don't go to cancer immediately. But that's what Karen did, which I think fits. But do you think...
Go big or go home, baby.
Yeah, I'm like, that makes sense that you did. You're like, well, we're going to heal cancer today. Do you think that at the time, though, because you guys were still kids, like it was a bunch of teenagers that went into that room and just asked
And we had no understanding of healing prayer.
Yeah, no clue what you were probably doing.
We had just like, no knowledge of any of this, of X, Y, Z. These are the steps and this is the best way to do it. Like we didn't know any of that.
Yeah.
So which comes back to what, you know, what you were asking earlier, like, did we listen first? No, we felt like we should go and pray, and we knew that we had a friend who had cancer, and that's it. And so we went and prayed.
That's where Quinz is. Like, right. I know I need this, and so I'm going to ask God, and He'll give it to me.
Right. Yeah. But as we get older, we get super self-sufficient, and we start to get more skeptical of certain things, like of faith types of things, of supernatural healing. You know, we're just kind of like, yeah, he did that in the Bible, but does he do, you know, and we just start to like science. I can understand science. That makes sense. And then we put our faith in science rather than in God. So yeah, I think there is a point at which we just have to be like children again and just say, God, this makes no sense. It makes no sense to ask for this, except that I know you are the same God who did all of these things in the Bible. And I read these stories and I think you haven't changed. So what has changed here? It's clearly us. Mm-hmm. And we aren't trusting you and we aren't asking it. And so therefore, God, if you are the same, help me to be the same. You know, like help me to have that faith that depends on you. Help me to have that faith that is willing to ask.
And Richard Foster says that too. He's even, I don't know if he said it in this part of the belief step, but maybe. But he said, even if it's like a Lord, help my unbelief, like even if you have the faith to go and then be like, God, help my unbelief, help take that from me.
Yeah.
But confess it.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I'm going to go back to the compassion piece for a minute because I think that that is huge. And it is sometimes what can fuel and drive our most faith-filled prayers is when we act out of a heart of compassion for someone. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we were talking about this friend that we went and prayed over for healing, and we did not see immediate healing in this friend. And there are several of us that continued to commit to prayer, and we've been praying and praying. And last week, the situation just kind of got dire and a little bit scary. And so there were, you know, a few of us who just had like hearts of compassion.
Yeah.
Like just so moved by compassion for this family and this pain. And, you know, I told you, I just sat there weeping, just weeping, begging God, like, God, you have got to show up. I know who you are. And there is a life on the line here. Like it is time. It is time for you to do something, and just begging him. And I'm sure your prayers were very similar that day, you know, where it's just
was crazy is we had both stopped at similar times in our day and we're both moved to prayer and we didn't know that each other was praying.
Right. Right. And it was just like a very desperate feeling of God, either you're going to come through right now, or this is not going to end the way we thought it would at all, you know? And so, you know, we're just calling out to God on behalf of this family and begging him for mercy, begging him for healing, telling him, you know, like, this is it, like, do something, you know? I'm like, I'm sitting in California speaking over that disease, you know, and God, if you want to use the medical community, that's great, but they need knowledge now. And that very day, they're referred to another doctor and they see a doctor 2 days later who immediately knows what has not been able to be diagnosed for a full year. Mm-hmm. They see this doctor and the doctor is like, immediately, I know what's wrong with you.
Yeah.
And guess what? We've got medicine that's going to turn this thing around. Like, just like that, you know, and I have to believe, you know, that our prayers when we, I mean, we would have been praying for her for months. Then we go and pray over her. We get to meet her in person. We pray over her. Like, this was a journey. Mm-hmm. This was a journey. This was not an instantaneous healing. But God, you know, just wove through all of this, this faith and this compassion for us to just keep praying. But then, you know, it's that faith, that belief. Like, I think that day, that was what welled up inside of us, was like, it's go time, God.
And compassion fueled that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's now. You're going to do something today and we feel it. Let's go.
Mm-hmm. And then it's like also, though, stopping and being willing to pray.
Mm-hmm.
Because another thing when I look back at that is I see community was cultivated even through that. And I think all of us are called to pray for our sisters and our brothers in Christ. And I don't think that sometimes we stop long enough to do it, because I was in the middle of getting ready and like I had Porter on the floor in the bathroom. He was getting into all the drawers and just, I was, you were in California. You were at every
on vacation.
Yeah. You were doing things, but we still stopped and we were still obedient and there was healing. Yeah. And I think that so many times we can be like, well, I'll pray later. I'll pray later. I'll do this later. And that stinks, because we need to be obedient and we need others to do that for us too.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's crazy because, you know, on that day we had that urgency that, God, if you don't do something, you know, she may die.
Mm-hmm.
And yet God used the medical community to bring that healing, to bring that diagnosis. And so it just, you know, it kind of like brings that all back around, that we can't limit how he's going to work. We can't tell him how to do it. We have to listen, be obedient, and enter into prayer, you know, and ask him, what do you want to do? How do you want to do this? How can we partner with you in all of that?
And another part that Richard Foster talks about is laying hands. Well, the Bible talks about it, but Richard Foster talks about that.
Yeah.
And we did that too. And
we anointed her with oil.
Yeah. And so can you speak to that a little bit? Mm-hmm. Like, if someone's like, I don't even know why we do that.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, the Bible, there's nothing magical about laying on of hands. That's another piece of the compassion, really, that, you know, in Bible times when someone was ill, they were cast out from society. They were separated. They had to physically be apart from others, you know, because of the illness and because of misunderstandings, but also because of some of God trying to protect others from getting sick. There's a piece of that that I wish we'd go back to. You know, when you get the flu, stay home. Then we don't spread it around, you know. So like, there was wisdom in why God said, you know, when you're ill, you go outside of the camp.
But then Jesus
goes and he puts his hands on lepers and he puts his hand on the blind man and he touches them and he enters into it. And there's just that physical connection and that spiritual connection that's made through physical touch, where it's like, I am entering into this with you and I see you not just as a disease, but as a person, you know, and I'm coming into this with you and just entering into your pain and showing you, like, you are so much more important than whatever you're feeling ostracized for, you know, being ill. You know, the illness separates us, disease, deformity, mental illness. It makes us feel subhuman in some way. And so it just restores humanity, and that touch itself can sometimes, yes, the Holy Spirit and power can flow through us to another person, but more often than not, it's literally just human compassion.
Yeah.
Human compassion.
So important.
Yeah.
And we saw Jesus do it, so we should do it too.
Yeah. Yeah. The last thing that he says then is just the gratitude piece and the thankfulness. And of course, you know, when he's talking about this, he's saying, we thank God for the healing even before we see it happen, which goes back to that faith like a child, you know, like, God, we trust you that this is going to change.
Yeah.
That you are already working and that healing is coming. We're so thankful for what you're doing. Excuse me. That takes a lot of faith to thank God before the healing.
Mm-hmm. Before you see what you want.
Yeah. But even more, I think just the reminder that when we see it, we've got to be grateful, and we've got to share testimony.
Give glory.
And give glory to God. You know, like, God did this thing. You know, he put on our hearts to pray. He sent them to the right doctor. He is bringing about healing. We got to be a part of that. But we're going to tell that story because God did a great thing. Mm-hmm. And we watched it happen, you know, like we were a piece of this story. And so we want to share. And that's, you know, it's so often Jesus would say, no, don't go tell anyone. Well, of course, they're going to tell someone. Mm-hmm. Because when something amazing happens, you've got to share it. You've got to tell somebody about it. And this, I think, is a huge piece of our Christian testimony. When we see God move, we've got to share. That is not a story that we just like, oh, that's so nice, I'll write it in my prayer journal. Mm-hmm. No, you tell people, because that is our God, and he is so good, and he is so powerful, and he does such incredible things. People need to know about that.
Yeah,
you know, like, we want them to believe. Well, let's show them his power. Mm-hmm. Let's tell them his goodness.
Yeah, I agree.
Ugh. It's exciting. It's exciting. And Foster would say, if you don't see what you expected to see, keep going to God, keep yep. praying, keep asking, pray over those things, you know, keep asking for healing. I mean, every time someone in my house has the stomach bug, I am praying healing over my home. Like, you know, like, keep asking, yeah. you know.
And take it as mission too, to pray mm-hmm. for those people that God has put into your path yeah. to pray for healing for them. Because I think often we just walk past them, or right. like we mention it later, but it's not healing prayer, you know? Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I think that we need to take this more seriously and do it like we are called to do it.
Yeah. But, yeah. It's exciting stuff. It's exciting stuff. I love it. I love it. I love that God is so good and so powerful, and that we get to be a part of that and get to witness his power and, you know, that see that same God of the Bible. When we get to see it today, like, it fuels our faith to say, okay, God, what can you do next? What can
yeah.
you do next? I love it. I love it. Well, it's time.
It's time.
You want to?
Yeah, I was going to say thank you for joining us again this week. We will be back next week, so we'll see you yes. then. But as always, yes. keep looking above.